The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and careers. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. I hope you guys have been having a good December. We're going to be talking about something really, really important as we go into the Christmas holidays. A lot of people are going to be cooking. A lot of people are going to be celebrating. A lot of people are going to be doing a lot of good stuff. But we want to know that how do you contact emergency services when you need them, especially during these times where, you know, sometimes fires break out and sometimes people do some things. And sometimes maybe somebody's eating too much food and they need to get an ambulance out there, police. But we're talking about 911, 311. How do you contact these services? And we're talking about them from DC, but we're going to be also speaking about it from a nationwide perspective. Where is 911 and 311 going? How are, you know, these services going to be provided? Will there be text to 911? Will there be a next generation of 911 services that we're going to be dealing with? We're talking to Chris. And I'm going to call him the Truth. They should call me the Truth. His middle name is T. But my middle name is T. But we call him T. Geldart. He is director of D.C. Homeland Security Emergency Management Agency. And he's also the interim director of the Office of Unified Communications for D.C. And welcome, Chris. Welcome back, I should say.
Thanks, Derek. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And Chris, you know, as we think about this, we're in a holiday time period, you know, and you've been doing this interim director for at least several months right now. You were asked to come on board and kind of get things going again. Where was D.C. when you came aboard in terms of 911 and communication services? You know, this is the nation's capital. You've got people calling in from all over the place, this, that, and the other. When people think about kind of the Office of Unified Communications, what is that and where has it come from and where is it at now?
Sure. So the Office of Unified Communications, Derek, really encompasses several things. One, we run the radio system for the district. That's police, fire, all city agencies that have radios. We run that, all the radio towers, all the system maintenance and all that. That's a big piece of what we do. But probably the most important piece to folks is we do the call taking and dispatching for 911 emergency services, as well as the call taking for 311 other city services. So the agency does all of those. We train, equip, and have the folks there that can handle people's worst day when they need help and they need something to get out there to them to resolve the issue that they're having. So that's the general background on the OUC. It's been in existence now for just over 7 years, 8 years now. And it really does bring together, unifies all of the communications for folks that need to get in touch with the city across the board. So great agency, 311 people dedicated to the job. And you could say they're the first responders of the first responders because they're taking the call and making sure the right people get to the people as quickly as possible in the city.
You know, when people think about kind of that dispatcher and kind of maybe lay out the dynamics, is that one of those, you know, probably one of the most difficult jobs that people have? I mean, because you're dealing with people on the phone, trying to calm them down, trying to assess the situation and put the right pieces in place to get them out there quickly. What is the dynamic in terms of training and other things that a dispatcher has to go through in order to be that person? They get criticism a lot of times, you know, especially when something doesn't go right. But a lot of times, I mean, really the majority of time, they're doing the right job. What does it take for a person to become a dispatcher in the OUC and maybe even around the nation?
Sure. You know, Derek, it's a two-phase system. So we have what we call universal call takers. So the call takers that take the calls from the residents and folks that call in to the center looking for assistance, and they handle all three disciplines. So if you call in for a police emergency, a fire emergency, or an emergency medical emergency, they're handling all those calls. That's a six-month training process from the day we hire them until we put them out there on the floor. That's considerable time in the classroom, considerable time of OJT sitting right seating in a seat next to a call taker that's been qualified and is qualified to train. They spend those 6 months mastering their skills and their abilities to handle those calls of the folks that are having the worst day. And, you know, we do all three disciplines. And in that, They get nationally certified to do that. So we go.
So there's
through,
a national certification for 911.
That's right. Okay. There's a national certification through the APCO and NENA, which are the two governing bodies in the nation that bring together these service areas, and they get certified on these different disciplines, so that they can go through and ask the right questions in the right time. And several folks, I hear from folks all the time. You know, I called in, I told them what was wrong, and they asked me all these questions, and they asked me some questions two times. Well, there are certain things we really need to know and we need to get right.
Right.
You know, we need to get your address right. Because if we don't have your address right, nobody's showing up.
Right.
We need to make sure we got your phone number right, because if we lose you someplace in that call, we need to be able to call you back.
Right.
They go through that process and they answer calls. And, you know, our call takers are answering about 1.4, just almost 1.5 million calls a year.
Wow.
So they're handling about 4,000 to 4,500 calls per day.
Right.
In that, and those aren't just calls that don't get services. Those are the calls that actually go through and get some kind of service too.
Okay.
So those are calls of record. So they're working hard. They're doing the job, and it can get overwhelming at times. Not just with the types of calls that they're taking, but the amount of calls.
Right.
As you can imagine, we're a big city. We have big city things that happen here.
No question.
Some folks, some of the listeners may remember when we had a shooter on 295 that drove by and shot up another vehicle on 295. We received 100 calls within 1 minute.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I don't have 100 call takers
on the
floor.
I was just about to say, you probably don't have that kind of staff.
No.
Yeah.
And I think the residents of the city may wonder if I put 100 call takers on the floor all the time, if I'm using the best use of their city dollars.
Sure.
So in times like that, we do have a mechanism where we'll set up a call queue. So what folks would say, I got put on hold.
Mm-hmm.
But our average times on that call queue, we're looking at 3 seconds maximum people are on that hold.
Mm, wow.
That's our average time.
Right, right.
The problem we run into is folks will call, they'll get put on hold, and they'll call right back immediately. They'll hang up the call back. Well, every time they do that, they get pushed to the back of the queue.
Sure.
So we tell folks, and the message is very clear when they get the hold message, is please stay on hold. You are in a queue. And again, our average times answering that call is 3 seconds.
Right, right, right. You know, when people get into that queue, and if it's that emergency situation, you're calling, you're in kind of a life or death situation, is the call being recorded? You know, should you, you know, just kind of talk into the mic? I mean, what do you recommend on those kind of situations? Or when that maybe dispatcher answers, should they say something so that it gets the immediate attention of a dispatcher right away?
Yeah. So when folks call in, the minute they hear DC 911, that call is being recorded.
Okay.
And we have the phone number.
Okay.
So at that point, the recording's on, the system is capturing their number. So we can hear if something's going on and we lose a call, which we call an abandoned call. And there's many things that create an abandoned call. But when we have that type of abandoned call, we can go back and listen to it and say, who is this? What's the phone number? Let me call them back.
Okay. You know, with that whole kind of process, as we kind of think about it, you talk about volume, you know, and you know, D.C. is that dynamic in which we got a lot of events. You know, we've got, you know, all these different things. You know, we're going to be having an inauguration coming up soon again within the next couple of years. We've got all the major things that's happening in D.C. And you've got 7 districts that have a number of different things. And you got all your federal partners. You know, are you answering calls for your federal partners? I mean, how is all that working together, whether it be Capitol Police, Secret Service, all these other agencies? Do they come into the unified communication system?
Yeah, so it doesn't matter where you are in the city. If you pick up your cell phone and you dial 911, you will get DC's Unified Communications, our Office of Unified Communications. You are getting our call floor.
Okay.
There are some federal installations where if you dial 911 on the landline, you're getting the local security there.
Gotcha.
But if you're sitting in the middle of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, you take out your cell phone and dial 911, we're answering the call.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
With all of that, then your dispatchers will relay, if it was by the White House or whatever the case is, are they then relaying information to the federal partners or whatever the case is, or how does that work?
Yes, sir. And that's how we do it. It happens every day, several times a day. We'll get calls that are on park service land. So we'll be relaying those calls to park police. We get them all the time for the Metro, and we're relaying those on to Metro PD, but we're Metro Transit PD. But we're also in that creating an event within the system so that we've recorded it. And there are several times when we send our own fire. Now, we are the fire and emergency medical services, so that if it comes in on that side, we're dispatching.
Right.
But on the police side, we may dual dispatch on that. Mm-hmm. We may send it over and let folks know at the same time dispatch Metropolitan Police Department
right,
to go.
Right. We're talking about the Unified Command Center, the Unified Communications Center, I should say. We're talking about this for D.C. We're talking about the dynamics of how do you use 911 and how do you use 311 effectively. We're going to get into 311 a little bit later on the show. We are going to also talk about the website that D.C. has. I got a lot of good information, but I'm going to let Chris talk about what's going on and also talk about the grade. They've improved this office in terms of communications and their response time to people has improved throughout the years. And the last time I looked, I think it was an A minus or so. So things are going, seems that something's going right. We want to find out what's going on. So we're talking about communication today on Fed Access. You're listening to this. We're going to be coming right back. We're talking to Chris Geldart. He's Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency for D.C. And he's also the Interim Director for the Office of Unified Communications. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about the Office of Unified Communications for Washington, D.C. We're talking about 911. We're talking about 311. We're talking about how do people connect and get emergency services. And we're going to also be talking about how is this an impact nationwide? What's the next generation of 911? What's the next dynamic? Will you one day be able to text and then get 911 services? Where are we going in terms of making sure that you are responded to with fire services, emergency services, police services, and anything else that people need throughout the city of D.C., but also nationwide. We're talking to Chris Geldart. He is the director of D.C.'s Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency, and he's also the interim director of the Office of Unified Communications. You know, Chris, as we think about, I'm looking at your website right now, and I think it's ouc.dc.gov. Yes, ouc.dc.gov. There's a lot of stuff on the website. You've got a lot of different things on here. One thing that caught my attention was this service request center. What's that about?
So we have a service request center through our 311. So 911 are clearly our emergency services. Our 311 services are all other city services that don't fall into the emergency category. There's a lot of things that fit into that. It could be snow removal. It could be cutting grass. It could be my trash cans my trash didn't get picked up this morning. A lot of those kind of areas. So what we provide for the other agencies in the district is a place for residents to call in and submit a request for services.
And with that, can they do this online too?
So they can definitely do it online.
Okay.
They could call 311. There's several phone trees they can go through there to make sure they get to the right place. This includes the DMV as well, help that they may need with that. Or they can go and download our app, which we have. I think we're in the neighborhood of 350,000 people that have our app downloaded or have downloaded it in the past. I mean, those are raw numbers.
So when they go looking for it, like either in Google Play or iTunes,
Google Play or iTunes, the App Store, just DC311.
Okay, DC311. Okay.
And they can do it all from right there. So, you know, if you're in your neighborhood and you have a small park area or something like that and you're looking for that grass to get cut.
Yeah.
That's where you go.
You see a pothole somewhere.
See a pothole.
Reported somewhere.
Absolutely. Right.
Do you see, and I know 311 kind of came out of an evolution of people overly using 911, right? You know, where you had people just calling like about miscellaneous stuff to 911 and tying up that line. Has that evolved now that people do understand that there are these two different lines, or you're still getting a lot of people who are calling 911 for just miscellaneous things?
You know, Derek, that's a great question. and I get asked that question a lot. You know, I've got this thing that's going on that really isn't an emergency, and I don't want to tie people's time up, but something needs to be done about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we tell folks is use your gut.
Okay.
If this is something you think you need the police to respond to or a fire department respond to or an ambulance respond to quickly, use 911.
Okay.
If it's something else, use 311.
If it can wait a couple of days or
if
so.
If it can wait. Right. Hit up 311.
Right. And then with people with that, are you getting a large call volume on the 311? I mean, people using that? Is the app being used on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah. Our 311 statistics are even higher than our 911 statistics.
Okay.
I mentioned earlier we're doing 1.4, almost 1.5 million calls per year 911, we're doing 1.8 million calls per year on our 311 services. And, you know, it's partial to give folks another place to call that's non-emergency, but it's also a great it's a great system in which to track the service requests that need to come into the agencies. So it's kind of a one-stop shop for the government to say, you know, where's the areas where we've got the most need, and how do I streamline this so if you call Department of Public Works one day and then you call the Department of Motor Vehicle another, you get different levels of service. We wanted to make sure we had a good level of service out there for all.
You know, with it and looking at the service request center, it seemed like you can track if you decide to do it online or maybe even by the app or something like that. You can maybe track where your request went. And it seems as if this is going to a lot of different DC services, right?
Yes, sir.
A lot of different departments. You know, how is that tracking system done where people can see where my request went? Did it get to the right people? Do I have a follow up?
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as you put your request in, you get a number for your file. And that number gets routed not only to the person asking for the services, but back to the agency. So you can track that thing all the way through. And you can do that on the app, and you can do it also on the web.
Is the app where people are going? You know, I mean, I'm seeing a lot more agencies starting. You've got one for DC Homeland Security Emergency Management Agency. Right. Now you've got one for 313. Has that app been a game changer in terms of just the way people interact with the city? And then also, are they getting information off of the 311 app?
Yeah, yes, it has been a game changer. It's a great venue for folks that they're walking down the street, they got their smartphone in their hand, they don't want to sit there and hold their phone up and stay on hold for, you know, you may be on hold for a couple minutes, or at least you got to go through the phone tree. So it's a couple minute or so call when you're on there. So that app allows them to just say, all right, I'm going to put stuff in here and I'm going to do it at my pace and I'm going to get it in there and I'll get a number back. And then from there, you can track, and it'll hold in as you download the app. You may have more than one request in, and it'll be in there, and you go back and check your requests and see which one is where.
You know, are these apps? If somebody saw like a pothole or somebody need to take a picture or something, can they upload? I mean, is there a possibility that people can, you know, put that content on there so they can show this? Hey, this is a power line or whatever. I mean, that may require certain things, but
yep, they can do that. They can take a picture of the pothole. They can take a picture of the overgrown grass in a small park or, you know, trash. You can send a picture of your trash if you'd like to, too.
Right.
I mean,
you
can upload those right onto there. So the city's got a good understanding of what you're talking about.
Wow. You know, as we're going, Chris, what are you seeing? I mean, in terms of the evolution with, you know, with 311 and all this kind of dynamic, you know, we've seen the apps. We're seeing kind of this whole piece. Where are you seeing it growing? Where would you want it to grow to? As you say, hey, listen, we want to be customer service environment. We want to be responsive to our citizens. Where would you want to see this go?
You know, the evolution of 311 in the city, it started off to be the end all be all for all city services that are non-emergency. We cover the vast majority of the agencies, but there still are agencies out there where you have to call the individual agency to get help with some question or issue or something you got going on. I think we need to get to that vision, which we're working towards now, of if you need something from the city, you dial 311, we should be able to get you there, what you need.
Have you seen the grades in terms of the response from the agency? I mean, are there agencies so the people like it, they love the communication, they can call 313. The question is, are there agencies, are they also tied in? Are they, you know, responding to this stuff the appropriate way? Are you seeing the grades being just as high in terms of response time?
You know,
I know you don't have full control over that.
But it's a great system. I think all the agencies that have come that use us, you know, the big ones like Department of Public Works, folks like that
transportation
really,
and DMV, all the others.
You know, those folks. One, it helps so the DMV employees can be focused on the folks that are inside their DMVs and not, you know, having that big call staff on the back end. And we actually get employees from DMV to come in to man some of the 311 desks in there. And I definitely see and I hear from the other directors as I talk with them how much having that system and service helps them, one, get a good understanding of what are some of the trouble areas we have. They get an uptick in, you know, we haven't cut the grass in a whole bunch of areas. They know, hey, all right, there's something going on with our grass area, or there's something going on with, you know, our trash collection or our snow removal. We didn't hit a certain street three times in a row. Something's going on. We need to fix this. Mm-hmm. So it's been a really good, I think, check and balance and a good service, both for the agencies as well as for the residents.
You know, as we think about this, I see another piece on the site talking about community outreach. You know, what is your team doing in the OUC to kind of, you know, do you want people to learn about OUC? Do you want people to kind of say, listen, we see this building in the 7th District off of MLK. What is this thing? Do you want people to come in and see what's going on? What is the community outreach piece of this?
Sure. Our community outreach folks are out there pushing. We do a thing called Smart 911, where folks that have special needs or disability or something that the first responder needs to know when they show up at their house, they can register for that and enter their information in there. So that's just that much better response from the from the first responders. To ensuring folks understand how we're organized, because a lot of times people will say, "I called the police and they didn't come," or "I called the police and this happened or that happened." Well, they need to understand you're calling the Office of Unified Communications.
Right.
We are the ones that handle that. We're the ones that have been trained and do the dispatching of the police. So we have civilian dispatchers and civilian call takers that handle that.
Right.
And when folks call, so it's explaining those kind of things to them, the 311 side of things, letting people just know that there is a 311
out there.
And the best way that works for them to get to it.
Right.
We're even working on a couple things. You mentioned text to 911 before. We're also working on text to 311. These are the things we want to get out there for folks so that they have the opportunity to make it as easy for them as possible to get in and lodge their either their complaint or their service request or whatever they need and get an answer back in the way they prefer to do it.
We're talking to Chris Geldart. He is the director of D.C.'s Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency. He's also the interim director of the Office of Unified Communications. You can find the Office of Unified Communications website at OUC.DC.gov. And you can also find the Homeland Security Emergency Management website at HSEMA.DC.gov. So you should go check out both of those. They both agencies have apps. If you got some room on your, you can take some pictures out or take some video out, but put some room on your phone in order to download these apps. A lot of good information comes from there. You can do a lot of reporting. You can also get some services from these apps and find out what's going on in the city. We're going to keep on talking about kind of communications. How do you deal with 911? How do you deal with 311? How do you think about the dynamics in which we can make sure emergency services, police services, and also just all services are provided for citizens through these communication channels? We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about the Office of Unified Communications. We've been talking about D.C.'s Office of Unified Communications. Let me even talk about that a little bit more. And we've been talking about their 911 and 311 services. We've got the director of D.C.'s office, his interim director, I should say, but hopefully he's going to become the director one day. I'm going to put that out there, Chris, but hopefully one day. But he is the director of Homeland Security Emergency Management Agency and the interim director of the Office of Unified Communications, Chris Geldart. He's with us in the studio right now talking about how do you get your 911 and 311 services. And we're talking about it from a DC perspective, but also just kind of a nationwide dynamic and how things are done. Chris, we were talking about this effort, and I saw something about Gallaudet kind of leading some things, and I've read about it on 911.gov and other places like that. But there's an effort of trying to say text to 911, text to 311. Where are we with that dynamic? Will we be able to, is that maybe coming 2016, 2017? What would that be like, and are we able to handle that?
Yeah, Derek, You're right down the right alley. I mean, that's what folks are starting to look at and go to. There are several communities in the country right now that are doing text to 911 and text to 311. We have the technical capability to do it now. We brought it online to do it, but we have not put it out there and not made it available to the public yet. We're actually observing and taking a look at those folks like Fairfax County who put it out.
Okay.
I think about 4 months ago, they went live with their text to 911. It's not as easy as folks would think to just say, I'm going to turn on a text system and somebody's going to answer my text for 911. And what you'll find is in many of these places that have already gone to text to 911. They tell folks, if you can call, call.
Okay.
If you can't,
okay,
then text.
Okay.
There's a lot of good reasons to text to 911. And we're going to have that capability. We're going to put it out there to the public, but we're really testing it hard right now to make sure that when we do it, it's integrated right into our systems. Mm-hmm. You don't miss a beat if you're texting to 911, and the services roll just like they should if you called in. So we just want to make sure, as we're looking at what Fairfax has and some of the challenges that they're looking at as they're doing it, we want to make sure we address those before we roll it fully out.
I've got to think that some of the challenges are location. I mean, and getting some of the critical information that a person could, you know, actually provide. You know, if you, you know, if you are texting, you know, is something going to bounce back and say, provide us this, and then the person's got to type it all in, where a dispatcher could have just asked you questions and got that information. I'm assuming that these are some of the challenges that that deals with when texting something.
Right. Exactly. We want to make sure, Derek, that folks are getting the services that they need to get. And so as we're looking at using that text to 911, we've got all the bugs worked out, and we make sure that there's, again, we don't miss a beat.
Right.
Because the professionals that we have on the floor of that 911 center take their job extremely seriously. They know the role that they play in people's lives. And in those times of crisis that people are having, and we want to make sure that they're set up for success in making this happen just as much as the people get the right services.
You know, when we think about this dynamic as we go forward and the technology, the technology is kind of changing. I was, you know, pretty pleased to hear when you said, hey, listen, DC has its own internet. You know, what's the technology that is behind all of this, you know, in terms of the call centers, in terms of making sure that things don't go down during a storm or a critical event that happens, or somebody said the EMP or whatever. What's the technology that runs a place like yours, an Office of Unified Communications?
Well, first and foremost, especially for the 911 and the 311 side, and 911 in particular, it's being able to answer somebody's call. And more people are using the cell phones more than they are using the landlines. So we're seeing that explode across the nation, which is why you're seeing a lot of uptick in call volumes across the nation. With that, you need to be able to handle calls from all the carriers. And currently, in most jurisdictions, there'll be a switching station that's housed by one of the carriers. Verizon is the big carrier in this area that does most of the switching for the 911 centers. We call them the PSAPs, or Public Safety Answering Points. So Verizon will take in all the lines. They'll all feed into one 911 line system that goes into the center, to the PSAP, and then goes out to all the different call takers on the floor. So right now, Verizon provides that service for the vast majority of the nation. DC was very fortunate. Several years ago, they decided to develop the DC network. So DC Net, which is basically fiber run throughout the city. We're our own internet service provider. So when calls come in, instead of going through a Verizon switching station or router, it actually comes into our system. So the big thing behind the next gen 911 is the carriers want to get out of doing that switching. So many of the jurisdictions, most of the jurisdictions in the nation, have to figure out, how are we going to take these in, and how are we going to do our own switching routing, or are we going to outsource that to another provider?
Do the carriers want to get out of it because of cost, or is cost prohibitive at this point? Or
And the technology, the upgrades that they would need to do to keep up with the ability to do it at the level that needs to be done, I believe would be cost prohibitive to them. I don't want to speak on behalf of the carriers as to why they're getting out of it. We love having the Verizon Center here in the District of Columbia, so I'm not going to talk about Verizon. But no, they are getting out of that that business. So folks are trying to figure out, and that's this big thing of next gen 911. Not only how do we route calls on our own and have our own switches and internal, which the district already has, we already do. And that was proven very valuable when we had the derecho storm back in 2012. During that storm, the Verizon switching station for the region here went down, and several jurisdictions lost the ability to continue to provide 911 services. The district did not. We didn't miss a beat. We're fully backed up, generator power, uninterrupted power supply, UPS, all of that. So our stuff kept on humming, and that's a good thing. And that was a lot of good investment early on by the city. what you see where they're going for the next gen 911 is not only how do you do that routing, but then how do you start to take in things like pictures and videos and things like that, so they can be sent into the 911 system. And then also, how do we share what we call computer-aided dispatch, CAD data, which is all that information that folks collect from you on the phone, they put into this computer-aided dispatch system. How can I share that with Arlington and Prince George's County? Because there's a lot of times, this happens several times a day.
Sure.
We'll get calls for people that are actually in Arlington or in Prince George's County, and we reroute those calls to those centers. Okay. And we stay on with the folks until the other center picks
up. Is that because they're so close on the border?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And so, but what we can't do is if I collected any information on that person's, whatever's going on with that person, their emergency, I can't share that data with the other center.
Gotcha.
I can transfer the call over, and I can tell the call taker coming on, this is what we got.
But it's they starting all new again.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that sharing of that computer-aided dispatch information is another big thing for next-gen 911.
Is this a conversation right now where if everybody gets on the same roadmap, or I don't know if it's going to be one centralized system that now you can share information, something comes in and it needs to swing up to New York real quick, it can just automatically through this one system that it can be shared? And I think about the dynamic when that a guy shot the two cops in New York, but he was coming from, you know, a certain area. Somebody had information, they could have just immediately said, hey, this is going on, and then transferred information to a dispatcher without having to start all over again. Is that where we're headed, hopefully?
You know, that could be a derivative down the road.
Okay.
That information sharing travels through different mechanisms now. But when you're looking at a region like the National Capital Region, you know, there's a lot of important information that we should be, and you mentioned everybody being on the same type of system and things like that. That's the drive. And we're doing that in this region. Okay. All of the 911 directors from the region, Fairfax, Arlington, Alexandria, Prince George County, Montgomery County, the district.
Right.
We meet on a monthly basis.
Okay.
And we're all talking about this next gen 911 and how do we make it as advantageous as possible to be sharing information and be on similar systems and be able to do the best for all our residents.
Okay. You know, when we think about this, and Chris, we got to take a quick break, but I want you to think about this as we go forward in terms of the technology and where we're headed. Is that information, and answer this when we come back, is that information, if a person is on a cell line taking pictures, taking video, and it's swinging up to a dispatcher, is it going to get to the point where it gets swung back out to the officer immediately? So maybe the officer has the video that the person is taking, everything else. Don't answer it now. We're going to take a quick break. But I want, as we think about next generation 911, is it going to be that kind of back and forth where you can get that kind of information out, that kind of intelligence that an officer may need or a fire department may need before they walk into the scene, you know, and help them to respond? We see these active shooter situations. Sometimes the people on the scene can give you that information before you even drive up about what's going on. We're talking about unified communications. We're talking about DC's Office of Unified Communications. Let me give the website real quick. OUC.DC.gov is where you can find the website. A lot of great stuff on this website. They also have an app on Google Play and also iTunes where you can do 311. Is it DC 311? You can download the app, and then also Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency for DC has an app on there too. You want to download these things. And the reason I'm telling you this is because it's critical to get information, and maybe one day it can help save your life, or maybe save somebody else's life, or report something that can be critical to help somebody else. So we want to do that kind of stuff right now. We're talking to Chris Geldart. He's director of DC's Homeland Security Emergency Management Agency, and he's the interim director of the Office of Unified Communications. We'll keep this conversation going as we come back. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about unified communications in D.C. And unified communications is your 911 and 311 services. These are the things in which you help basically find out what's going on with 311, or you can report something, or you can get your police and your fire services through 911. How do these things work? We're talking about the current services, but then we're also talking about next generation. Then texting to maybe 911, maybe the dynamic in which all the different 911 dispatchers amongst the National Capital Region and maybe across the nation have access to the same information. Where is this stuff going to the future? We're talking to Chris Geldart. He is the director of DC's Homeland Security Emergency Management Agency, and he's also the interim director of the Office of Unified Communications for DC. And you can find the website at OUC.DC.gov. Chris, I asked you a question, you know, as we were kind of going forward, and the next generation of 911, you know, as like you said, we're going to cell phones, and cell phones have these capabilities of video, and you can be on the phone and taping and everything else. Is the next generation of 911, will it be able to possibly capture that information from someone? And not necessarily go into somebody's cell phone, but if a user say, no, I want to upload a video for you real quick, this is what's going on the scene, is that where we're headed?
That's the goal.
Okay.
That is exactly
okay.
what we're trying to get to. You know, we have three phases of Next Gen 911 here in the district. The first two of those are real technical type of things, getting our systems ready to be able to launch off on that. And then the last one really is to bring in that kind of capability. You know, right now, that capability doesn't exist anywhere to do that.
Okay.
But we know we're going there. We know that needs to be the possibility. So a lot of work across the nation going into being able to do that. And as you said earlier, we want to make sure that it doesn't do a whole lot of good if just the dispatcher or the call taker seeing this information.
Right.
We need to get it to the dispatcher and we need to get it out to the, the units in the field.
Right.
Whether that be police, fire, or emergency medical.
Right. Right.
So that they know when they roll up on a scene what they have. And so that's the critical piece to that, right? Is making sure that when we may be capable of consuming that that type of information in, but we need to be able to get it out too.
It'll
be a little bit of time before all that's in place.
Okay, but we're headed there.
The nation's headed there.
Okay.
So nobody has that capability right now, but we're working.
You know, when we think about it, and I'm thinking about it from the caller's perspective. What would you recommend? You know, if you just had everybody was listening to this and said, listen, the advice that I give to you, when you call 911 in order to make sure that the dispatcher gets exactly what they need, be ready to provide this information immediately. You know, as you're thinking about it, what would you tell that caller?
You know, the first thing, and we see this a lot, so I couldn't stress it enough. For the folks out there, when you call in, the call takers have the right questions to ask about the emergency that you describe.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing they want to get down from you is, where are you and how can I get in touch with you if for some reason we lose communications?
Okay.
So they're going to ensure, they're going to ask you twice, what's your phone number and what's your address where you're located?
Okay. Okay.
And then they may ask you some more information about it because as district residents, we're going to say, I'm on the 400 block of 13th Street in Northeast.
Right.
And they may ask you, okay, are you on this side or that side of the 400 block?
Right.
Because it's important.
Yeah.
So they may ask you a couple questions on that. And it's going to
seem like—
You
could be in a building. You could be on the 12th floor or somewhere. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's going to seem like a long time for the call taker to go through some of the questions that they have. But I'm telling you, it's going fast.
Okay.
And the other thing to remember is, as they gather the information at certain points, as they're asking questions, they're already sending that over to the dispatchers. Units are already rolling towards that emergency that you have.
Okay.
So as they go through the questions, they're going to ask a certain set, and then they're going to continue to ask questions, but they're going to be sending this over to the dispatcher, and it's going to be getting out to the units in the field that are going to be starting to roll towards you. But they're going to still ask you more questions.
Right.
Because they want to make sure, because they can continue to push information to the units as they're coming to you. Because inside every police car and inside every ambulance and every fire truck, we have the capability to share more data with them so that as they're rolling along and they come up on the scene, they can hit it and get the most recent information on that from that person that's making that complaint or calling in. And then they come out their vehicle and they're ready to go. So one, it's going to seem like a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But our averages in this, we are from the call to the dispatch, on average, we're taking about 2 minutes.
Okay.
That's how long it's taking. Now, that's not every time. There's a lot of times when we can get it out much quicker, and there's a lot of times we do get it out much quicker. But if you're thinking about on average, that's a 2 minute window.
Mm-hmm.
Our call till the units arrive on scene, we're averaging about 8 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
Now, there are times when it's a lot faster than that, depending on where the unit is and where you are.
Right.
We may get a unit to you within a couple minutes.
It may turn a corner and be
right.
Yeah.
There's also times when, you know, time of day, where the units are, where you are, it may take a little bit longer than 8 minutes.
Right.
But that 8 minutes is what we're working on average.
Okay.
And we're constantly working with both the Fire and Emergency Medical Services and the Metropolitan Police Department to bring that number down and bring that average down as much as we can.
So when people, you know, visualize it, they should be thinking that, hey, while I'm talking, this person's typing this information in, is going right out to either police or fire or emergency medical, whatever the case is, and they're getting updates while they're rolling to you. So the more information, whether it be in location, is critical. And then also maybe the facts about what did you see, you know, where are you at, where's what's going on, so that people can respond pretty quickly and not be confused by that situation.
Right.
Are you going to try to keep that person on the line as long as possible? Or, you know, it just depends on the situation.
It really does depend on the situation. Medical calls are a little bit different than other calls. The other thing that we see a lot, and I've got about, now I've probably got about 300 hours underneath the headset with my call takers, just to understand the calls that they're taking and how things are happening. People get frustrated on a call with the 911 call taker because they're asking a set of questions, and the person may have run through some of the information already in the very beginning of the call, but yet they're asking them the question again. And folks get frustrated and say, I already told you that, you know, I saw a man with a gun.
Right.
And now you're asking me if they had a gun, right? Well, there are certain questions that we need to ask to make sure we got right, because that's the order in which the law enforcement folks and the medical folks are going to be seeing that.
Right.
And we want to confirm that we got the information
right.
High stress environment. A lot of things going on. Again, worst day for some folks that they're going to have in their life is when they call into the 911. So our call takers are trained with that empathy first, and with understanding you got to get this key information so that we can get that out to the folks out in the field. So I would just say, bear with them.
Right.
They are getting you the help that you need. They want to get it right, and they want to make sure you're safe and that the people that are coming to help you are safe as well.
You know, Chris, as we think about it, and we almost have to wrap up, but are you looking for more dispatchers? I mean, do you need, you know, I mean, it seems that this is one of the most critical jobs. And it seems as if sometimes we need, you know, just like police needs more people these days. Are you in that same predicament right now? And if you are, how do people find that out?
We are, Derek. And actually, we have hired this year. We've already hired in about 25 folks into the center, and we're going to be hiring another 23 folks coming up here. So, of course, you can go onto the district's website and look up DC Jobs. It'll be in there. It'll be posted up as a telephone communication operator.
Okay.
That's what it's in there under. And you can take a look at that. But we are hiring. We need good people. Again, these are the first responders of the first responders. There are some unique characteristics for the folks that we need.
Right.
We are hiring.
Outstanding. Chris, thank you so much for coming back. You know, we talked about the Homeland Security piece, and now this is a critical piece. And as we go into 2016, I'm going to be calling you again to come on back and talk more about, because there's so much to cover. We can never really do it in 1 hour. But I want to keep on having this conversation about having people prepared. You know, Homeland Security, emergency management, being able to call in, get the right services and everything else. So we appreciate your service. And then thank you so much.
Thank you, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.